Well, good morning, folks. This is Amy from Amy's Kids Show, and I am going to put on a little bit of music here for a moment, I'm hoping, so that I can figure out what's going on with the computer and get my music to start. So this is Amy's Kids Show, and I will be back with you in just a moment. Hold on, please. Rise and shine, everyone. This is Amy, and welcome to Amy's Kids Show, the official start to Amy's Kids Show. I found the volume button there. That was exciting. Today's show is actually really appropriate, kind of, for what just happened here with me at the station, trying to find the volume button and being all confused. Well, today we are going to go traveling. Traveling to a fairy hill. A fairy hill. That's where the fairies live. And we are going to be continuing with our cat theme because we're going to be traveling to this fairy hill with a cat, actually. So if you like cats and you like fairies and if you happen to like riddles, well then, you're going to really love today's episode of Amy's Kids Show. Because today, we are going to be traveling with Catkin, who is a very courageous cat. A super courageous cat. And if you close your eyes and envision a courageous cat, what do you picture? Do you picture like a big, fierce cat, gigantical, right? With like sharp claws and super courageous? Well, this cat happens to be kind of the opposite, a particularly small cat. Isn't that surprising? A particularly small, especially small, but greatly courageous cat named Catkin. And Catkin is the name of this book that I'm going to read today by Antonia Barber. And Catkin is a mouse hunter, closer than friend, wind dancer at the bow's end. We're going to be exploring a fairy hill with Catkin and her friend, a little girl named Carrie. And so this is going to be very exciting. We're going to learn a little bit about fairy hills because, of course, I was curious when I read this book, and I was curious about fairy hills. Fairy hills. What are fairy hills? What makes them fairy-like, and what makes them hills? Well, most of them were actually hills that were made by people. Right. It's very interesting. So we're going to learn a little bit about the history of fairy hills, and we're going to go traveling with Catkin, because Catkin, the courageous little kitty, oh, she's so sweet. She's going to take very good care. Sure, she's going to make a little mistake, kind of like I did this morning, by being not observant enough and not paying attention enough. And sometimes we make mistakes, right? No big deal. That's just another reason to be courageous so we can make up for them, right, guys? Thanks for joining me.
Fancy is free. Stand where the cliffs meet the sky and the rocks reach the sea, where the rivers run clear and the bracken is cold in the sun, and the cares of tomorrow must wait till this day is done. Come by the hills to the land where life is a song. Stand where the birds their joy all day long. Where the trees sway in time, and even the wind sings in tune, and the cares of tomorrow must wait till this day is done.
It's time for our story already because it's a bit of a long one. So I'm going to get started on it pretty soon here. But let me tell you a little bit of the history about the things we're going to be reading about today. First of all, fairy hills are hills where the fairies are supposed to live. And if we lived in Ireland a few hundred years ago, we would have known all about fairy hills because that was something that everybody knew all about, were the fairies and how to live alongside them. And the fairies were living in these hills, but actually the hills are pretty old, and most of them were actually built by humans. So way back, the Celts, who were people who came to Ireland at one point during the Bronze Age, when people were using bronze as a metal for things, and that was pretty advanced for them. They were excited to have bronze to use. And back in those days, they used these fairy mounds for forts, actually. And a fort was to protect themselves so they could get up on top of the hill. And when they're up on top of the hill, they could see in all directions. Now, see, I live in Vermont, and maybe you do too. And here in Vermont, we have a lot of hills. So we take that for granted, that when we're on a hill, we can look around and see far into the distance. But if you've ever been somewhere flat, or maybe you live somewhere that's pretty flat, you notice that you can't really see very far when you're down on the low ground with the ground and it's all flat in all directions. So Ireland is a little bit flattish. You know, there are hills and mountains, but in these big expansive areas, they would build their own hills so that they could see who was coming and protect themselves. But those hills were actually made by people even longer ago than that. Way, way back in history, before people started writing down history or keeping very good track of it, back in the days of legends and stories, there were people who actually built those mounds in order to bury their loved ones when they passed away. So a lot of those mounds were actually burial mounds too. So these fairy hills have a long history. And back in the day when people lived with the fairies, alongside the fairies, and understood the fairies, it turns out that fairies were not considered, you know, such sweet creatures that we might think of them as today. People were a little bit afraid of them because they were powerful. They lived forever, which means that they did not have children, which I think is very interesting, that when a creature or an entity lives forever, that they don't have children of their own. And so they sometimes would steal children. And that was called a changeling. If your child was stolen by the fairies, you might still have what looks like your child living with you, but it's not them anymore. And how did the people know what was happening with the fairies and how the fairies acted and what the fairies thought? Well, there happened to be special people in the community who knew all about the fairies. And they were sort of the fairy whisperers, the fairy experts. And these were usually the wise women in the community. And these wise women would also know sometimes about herbs and helping people heal from different illnesses. And so the wise women were often called upon to help in different situations because of their expertise in these areas. And so I wanted to explain all of those elements because they're all going to come together in this beautiful story called Catkin by Antonia Barber. I'll be back in just a second and we will start the story. Thank you for joining me. So we are going to read Catkin by Antonia Barber, and this is what the book says about the author. Antonia Barber lives near a big round hill, very much like the one in this story. She notes that English folklore often refers to the little people, the lordly ones who dwell in hollow hills, and who steal babies because, being immortal, they have none of their own. This story comes in part from that tradition. She adds that the story of Persephone, who must visit the underworld each fall, returning in the spring, is yet another inspiration for this story. Antonia Barber is also the author of The Mouse Hole Cat. That sounds like a good book. I'd like to read that one too. And the person who did the drawings in the story is named P.G. Lynch. And P.G. Lynch says that when he first read Antonia Barber's story, he knew he would have no shortage of models for Catkin or the old mother cat. My next door neighbor, Mr. Tabby Twos, owns about 40 cats, and I've been using them as models. So we can definitely rely on the realistic drawings in this book for the cats. Oh, and they are so beautiful. All right, so here we go. The story of Catkin. There once was a cat so small that he could sit in comfort on the palm of a man's hand. He was born to an old mother who lived with a wise woman on the top of a round green hill. The last is often the best, said the wise woman to the old cat. And she named him Catkin, because his golden tail was no bigger than the hazel catkins that danced outside her window. Now at the foot of the round green hill, there lived a good farmer and his wife, who cared for the land around them. And deep inside the hill lived the little people, who are not born and who do not die, but are there always. The farmer and his wife had but one child, a baby girl named Carrie, for whom they had waited many long years. When Catkin was old enough to leave home, the wise woman put him in a basket and took him to the farmer's wife as a gift. As they went down the hill, she talked to Catkin, telling him to keep watch over the little girl, for she had seen in the dark sky of the child's birth that some danger came toward her. Carrie and Catkin loved each other at first sight, and where one went, the other was always close by. Through the long summer days, they played together, and when night fell, the red gold curls of the child and the golden fur of the little cat lay side by side on one pillow. Then, one day, as autumn came in, Carrie went out with her mother to gather blackberries, taking Catkin with her in her pocket. That's so cute, a kitty in her pocket. As the day wore on, the child grew tired, and her mother laid her to sleep among the bushes, telling the little cat to keep watch. Catkin curled up beside her and for a while purred contentedly. But as time passed and the shadows lengthened, he grew restless and began to play with a leaf stirred by the child's breath. At that moment, a butterfly perched on the bright gold of her sunlit hair, but finding there was no flower, flew off again. Without a thought, Catkin went after it, leaping from bush to bramble, twisting and tumbling among the fading grasses, seeing only the bright wings caught in shafts of sunlight. Far up the valley he followed and forgot the child. Then there came a strange quietness upon the air, and pausing breathless, Catkin heard the first faint notes of a faraway music coming from deep inside the hill. His fur rose up in fear, and he crouched in the shadows as the soft sound grew. Out of the green hillside, into the misty sunlight, came the little people. They were pale and beautiful and laughed together, and some danced to the strange sighing music. In the midst of them rode their lord upon a small pony, and beside him his lady with her hair dark as the night sky, and her eyes green as deep water. Catkin watched in dismay as they moved away down the valley, for he saw that their path would take them to the sleeping child. He ran after them, but on his tiny legs he could not keep up. They passed on into the mist and out of sight, Even the faint sound of their music died upon the air, and he was left alone in the silence. Still he ran on, over rough stones and through sharp thorns, afraid that he would find the child gone. So when he came at last to the place where he had left her, and saw that she lay sleeping as before, he purred with delight and curled up close beside her. But when he touched her skin, it was strangely cold, and she stirred, she whimpered, and pushed him away. Her mother came, thinking the child had taken a chill in the evening mist, wrapped her in a shawl, and carried her home. She sent her husband to fetch the wise woman, who came at once to gaze upon the sleeping child. Long she looked, and sadly she sighed. "Here is a changeling," she said, "a child made by enchantment. It will fade as the leaves fall, and when Christmas comes, it will find you childless." At this, the mother cried out, "My child, where is my child?" "Alas," said the wise woman, "she has gone under the green hill, and the little people have taken her." Then the mother wept, and the farmer pleaded, "What wrong have we done them that they should bring this grief upon us?" "Oh, they mean you no harm," said the wise woman gently. "They are immortal, and so childless. They do not know the bond between parent and child. When the nights grow long under the green hill, they grow restless and long for new company." "I will go down into the darkness," said the farmer bravely. "I will show them our sadness and beg them to return our child." But the wise woman shook her head, saying, "No man can find the magic door that leads into the green hill." And she sat deep in thought while the farmer sought in vain to comfort his wife. Then Catkin, who had hidden himself for shame, crept out from under the wise woman's skirts and leapt up onto her knee. He gazed at her with his golden eyes, and looking into the depths of them, she read his thoughts. At last she smiled. "This little one shall go," she said. "By his carelessness was your child taken, and through his courage, she shall come home to you." "A cat so small," explained the farmer. "What can he do?" "It is his size that saves us," said the wise woman. "For him, the smallest rabbit hole is a highway into the hillside." "And if he should find her," said the farmer, "how shall a cat plead our cause?" "In that land of enchantment," said the wise woman, "even the beasts may speak and be understood." She put Catkin upon her shoulder and set out with him up the green hillside. And as they went, she searched her wisdom for what help she could find. "Two streams flow into that hidden land," she told him. "One flows from among the hazel trees, and these are the waters of wisdom. The other runs down from the willow pool, and these are the waters of forgetfulness. Therefore, drink nothing that is offered, but only from the hazel stream." She set Catkin down beside a rabbit hole and parted from him with one last warning: that he tell no one his true name. "For if you speak your name," she told him, They will weave spells to bind you in that land forever. Catkin set out boldly into the black hole, and for a long time he wandered in the mazy, earth-smelling darkness. Then he saw a gleam of light ahead, and he came out into a strange and beautiful world. He found vast caverns within the hollow hill, where the walls shone gold and silver and lay reflected in deep lakes of still green waters. Oh, he went into the very heart of the hill and came at last to a splendid palace full of light and glittering with gems. Here, the lord of the little people held his revels with music and dancing and sumptuous foods. And by his side sat his lady with the child upon her knee. Watching them from the shadows, Catkin saw that the lady loved the child, stroking her golden hair and feeding her only the choicest morsels. And he also saw that Carrie loved the dark lady, putting up her little hands to touch the gentle face. Then he knew that she had drunk the waters of the willow pool and no longer remembered her true home. When the little people saw Catkin, they were delighted by the strangeness of a cat so small. The lady picked him up and, laughing, set him upon the child's knee. Though Carrie could not remember Catkin, yet she found in him a tiny playmate, and for her sake, the little cat was soon in great favor with the dark lady and her lord. He found that he could indeed speak to them and be understood, and that life was very good in the land that lies under the green hill. Yet always, Catkin drank from the hazel stream and would not tell his name. And by this, the lord of the little people knew that he did not mean to stay. "He has come for the child," he thought, and he smiled, for his power was great, and he did not think that so small a cat could outwit him. Now, the little people were very fond of riddles, and they would pass the long evenings in setting and solving them. Catkin proved himself very cunning at this sport, and for this the dark lord came to love his company, even as the lady loved the child. And it troubled him that the little cat would not speak his name, and so might leave them as suddenly as he had come. And the lord and his lady took counsel together while Catkin and the child slept, and thought how they might catch the little cat and bind him to them forever. On the next day, there was a great banquet to mark the turning of the year, when the days began to lengthen and the nights grow shorter. After the feasting, the riddles began. There was much skill in them and laughter, and Catkin outwitted them all. Then The Lord of the Little People smiled, and his dark eyes were mocking in his pale face. He held out his silver cup to Catkin, saying, "Will you not drink with us now in friendship?" And when the little cat would not drink, he said, "Will you not even tell us your name?" And when Catkin would not tell it, he said, "Then it seems to us that you have come for the child." Catkin saw that the truth must be told, and he answered, "My lord, I have indeed come for the child. It was by my carelessness that you found her unguarded, and her mother weeps for the loss of her." "Why, so would my lady weep if you should take the child from us," replied the Lord of the Little People. "And I should be sad, little cat, to lack your company through the long winter evenings. Come, will you not drink with us and forget the past? Have we not made your life pleasant enough that you should seek to leave us?" "This life is pleasant indeed," said Catkin sadly, "but there is no peace for me until the wrong is righted." For a while, the Dark Lord sat frowning, and all were silent. Then he smiled suddenly, and it was as if the sun came from behind the clouds. "Then we will give you a challenge, little cat," he said. "We shall set you three riddles. If you cannot solve them all, you shall drink from my cup and forget the past. But if you answer all three, then you shall have your way, and the child shall go free." Catkin looked to the lady, thinking she would cry out, but she sat with her cheek against the child's, smiling, with her eyes cast down. Her smile made Catkin pause, and for a moment he was afraid. But seeing no other way, he said, "It shall be as you will, my lord." "Why then," said the Dark Lord, "hear the first riddle." "So be it. Though I am not high, my magic branches sweep the sky." I'll repeat that for those of you listening. "So be it. Though I am not high, my magic branches sweep the sky." Catkin thought hard. And then he said, "My lord, when you say so be it, you tell us what is your will. And that which is not high is low. And the tree of enchantment, whose branches sweep the sky, is the will, oh, the willow." "Why, so it is," said the Dark Lord, laughing, and the little people marveled at Catkin's quick thinking. "Now, hear the second riddle," said the Dark Lord. "The meadow's wealth I trade for gold, yet wisdom in my fruit I hold." "The meadow's wealth I trade for gold, yet wisdom in my fruit I hold." Catkin thought harder, and for a long time. At last he said, "My lord, the wealth of the meadow lies in the hay, and to trade for gold is to sell. And the tree whose fruit holds wisdom is the hazel." the hazel. "You are a worthy opponent, little cat," said the Dark Lord, and his people clapped and cheered at Catkin's skill. Then the lady spoke, and her eyes were soft upon the child in her arms. "Let the third riddle be mine, my lord," she said. "As you will, my lady," said the Dark Lord. Now, though Carrie had forgotten Catkin, yet there was a name she murmured sometimes in her sleep, and this the lady had heard. She looked up at Catkin, and her eyes were as deep and as green as the bottomless pools. "Hear my riddle, little cat," she said, and spoke these words. "Mouse hunter, closer than friend, wind dancer at the bough's end." Mouse hunter, closer than friend, wind dancer at the bough's end. Then hope died in Catkin's heart, for he knew that the mouse hunter is the cat, and those who are closer than friends are our kin, and that which dances at the bough's end is the catkin. And he knew that to solve the riddle, he must speak his name, and if he did so, the child would go free. But once that name was spoken, the Dark Lord would have power to hold him under the green hill forever. He hesitated, and the lady watched him from under her dark lashes, and she thought, "He will not bind himself to save the child." But Catkin knew that he would have no peace in his heart unless the price was paid. "My lady," he said, "I speak that which I would rather keep secret, for the answer is Catkin, and the child must go free." When he spoke these words, the lady cried out, and the child also. Carrie cried out for joy as she remembered her little cat. But the lady cried for grief that she must lose the child. Now, the Lord of the Little People found himself with a riddle that he could not solve. For if the child went free, his lady would grieve. Yet he had given his promise. And if Catkin stayed behind, the child would grieve, for she loved the little cat and would not now be parted from him. And if both were sent free, then how long the winter nights would be, with his lady pining and no Catkin to riddle with them. "You have solved three riddles, Catkin," he said. "Can you not unravel this last one?" "I am only a cat, my lord," answered Catkin. "I have a quick wit, but this last riddle needs wisdom. Let us take it to the wise woman." And so it was that the little people rode out once more with their lord in their midst, and beside him the dark lady, with Carrie in her arms and Catkin on her saddle bow. And they came straight to the wise woman's house on the top of the green hill, and they laid their riddle before her. And the wise woman sat in silence for a long time. Then she said to the lady, "Though your grief be great, yet greater is her grief that bore the child. Therefore, Carrie shall return to her mother." A single tear ran down the lady's cheek and gleamed in the starlight. Yet weep not, said the wise woman, for all is not lost. Then she turned to the dark lord and said, without the little cat, the child will grieve. Therefore, Catkin shall go with the child. And though he had power to bind Catkin to him, the dark lord bowed his head. We have sought your judgment, wise woman, he said, and we will abide by it. You do nobly, my lord, said the wise woman, yet all is not lost. Because you have given up your power over them, the child and the little cat shall come to you each year when the nights are the longest. And you shall not bind them with your magic. And when the first hazel catkins dance in the wind, they shall return from under the green hill to dwell in their own land. Joy was reborn in the lady's heart when she heard these words. For though the parting pained her, she knew that she would see the child again. She rode with her lord away into the starlit night, and the little people returned under the green hill. Then the wise woman set Catkin upon her shoulder and carried the child home. The farmer and his wife saw them coming down the hill, and soon all were gathered into their loving arms. When they heard of the wise woman's judgment, they were generous in their joy and gave their consent to the sharing. And from that day, all things went well for the good man and his wife. They lived in peace with Carrie and Catkin and the little people, and the farm on the green hillside flourished. The end.
ashes from the hills above Glencar, in pools among the rushes that scarce could be the star. We seek for slumbering trout, and we spring in their ears, give them unquiet dreams, leaning softly out from ferns that drop their tears of all the young streams. Come our wild human child to the waters of the wild, with a fairy hand in hand, for the world's more full of weeping than he can understand.
What did you guys think about that story about Catkin and the fairy mound and his journey into the fairy mound to rescue Carrie, the little girl who was taken by the fairies? Well, I really liked that story and I had a good time sharing it with you. It has some of my favorite subjects in it. And I learned a lot about those things from reading this book. So these are the things I was paying attention to was, you know, responsibility and carelessness, right? It was through carelessness that Carrie was taken by the fairies, because Catkin, do you remember what happened? Catkin was supposed to be watching Carrie, and what happened? He got distracted, right? He got a little bored. And he got a little distracted, like kittens do, right? It's normal. It's okay. And he followed a butterfly, but that meant that Carrie, was taken by the fairies. Now, was that fair? Do fairies have a right to come along and just take children? Well, apparently so, according to legend. That would happen quite often. Now, we're not sure if that's really what would happen. Probably. Children would become ill or sick or something, and people wouldn't understand what had happened. And so they would blame the fairies. Perhaps that's the truth, but we don't know. But in the old days, they did think that the children were taken, right? And so what did Catkin do? Well, Catkin took responsibility and showed a lot of courage by going down into that fairy hill. He also relied on wisdom. Who did he get some wisdom from? Well, the wise woman shared all she could with Catkin before he went down in that hill, and that was really helpful for him to learn about it, right? And to know more about how it worked and how the fairies worked and what water to drink and what water not to drink and not to give his name, right? And then also there's the theme of justice. Now this part really perplexed me. Because at the end, the wise woman makes her judgment, you know, to bring right to the situation where all this wrong had been happening. And what did she decide? Well, I thought it was really interesting. She didn't really base it on what was fair because things were already not fair, right? Instead, she really paid attention to who would hurt the most, who would suffer the most. I thought that was really an interesting way to make a decision, and at first I disagreed with her. I have to say, I did not like the ending. I thought it was totally unfair that the fairies had taken the child, and you know, but the way that she resolved it was actually quite wise, because she based it on who would suffer, right? And she said the mother would suffer the most, right, to lose her child, so she must have her child back. The child would suffer by missing Catkin, so Catkin must stay above. But the final thing was understanding fairies and their nature. See, the reason why there are so many fairy mounds still in Ireland is because the people there are afraid of the fairies, quite honestly. And that's why Ireland has more ancient mounds and things than any other country in the world. Isn't that amazing? And it's because they're afraid of them, so they stay away from them, so they don't take them down because they are worried about the bad luck. So, you know, the wise woman in all of her wisdom knew that for everyone to live in peace in the future on this hillside, they must honor the fairies for surrendering, you know, their power in giving up the child and the cat, and give them back that company through those long winters. Well, maybe you understand what it's like to be cooped up through a long winter. We sure do up here in Vermont this time of year, and we're seeing the sun come back. So we're going to lighten up with a fun song, and then I'll be back for the closing. Thank you for joining me for Amy's Kids Show.
One knows where we're going. No one knows where we've been. Strangers follow us, dangers fall on us. Life plays tricks and they're mean. Only one thing can save us. Only one thing will do. Stand up nice and straight, don't capitulate. Courage lives and it's you. Catch a tail by the tiger. Take the horns by the bull. A bird in need is a friend indeed. So pull the eyes over the goal.
I think you got it backwards. Well, the saying is that you gotta catch a tiger by the tail.
Sure, if you want to do it the easy way. On the other hand, if you really want bravery, then you gotta catch a tail by the tiger. Take the horns by the bull. A bird in need is a friend indeed. So pull the eyes over the wool. Steely gaze in the sunrise. Lonesome walk in the dawn. Sometimes lonely, but living only for truth when truth may be gone. Danger lurks at the crossroads. Shadows loom on the wall. Sounds behind us and hounds will find us. And death and taxes and all.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of Amy's Kids Show. We have been celebrating all of my favorite things. Courageous cats, riddles, fairy mounds, and wise women, and farmers, of course, taking good care of the land. All of those things were in this story. I really enjoyed this story called Catkin by Antonia Barber. And I really love the theme of courageous cats, right? Catkin was so small. Do you remember how small? So small that he could fit in the palm of a man's hand. Such a small cat. And was Catkin perfect? Well, no. I mean, he had tons of talents, right? Super, super good at solving riddles, apparently. And super good at being a friend, right? But he got careless. Hey, we all get careless sometimes. I know I've been careless. And it's hurt people. And that's awful, right? I feel terrible. So how can I make it up to people, right? How can I do the right thing when it's my turn to step up and take responsibility? Well, that's what it's all about. And I'll tell you, Catkin is my new hero. Because if a little kitty cat can be so courageous, right? So courageous. And then be willing to stay in fairyland forever so that he could save Carrie and send her back home to her mom. I mean, what a sweet story. I love this story, and I'm glad that you joined me today for it. And I hope that you will have a great time finding all kinds of heroes and heroines and just exploring who you are and how wonderful you are. Because remember, of course, you are the greatest. I've got to run, guys. It's time to go. I'll be back next week with more fun. I think there's more cats from space coming. Just to drop a little hint. All right. Take care, folks. Have a great week. We'll get together again next time.